Haideți cu toții, dragi frați și surori, scumpi prieteni, să deschidem Sfânta Scriptură la Geneza, prima carte a Bibliei. Capitolul 4, am să citesc de la versetele 9 la 15, inclusiv pentru mesajul în limba engleză. So please all open your Bibles at Genesis, chapter 4, verses 9 to 15. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And he said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield to strain you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on earth." And Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me." And the Lord said to him, "Therefore, whoever kill Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. Amen. What a relationship between two brothers. We're supposed to be love. We're supposed to be peace. We're supposed to be compassion. There's hate. There's murder between Abel and Cain. And it's so interesting, my dear and my beloved brothers and sisters, tonight how sin came into this world. At the beginning, like something innocent, says Adam, "Yes, God, I made a mistake, but it's because of this woman, Eve, that you put here right next to me." It's almost like a politically correctness argument that a lot of people come with these days. It's because of her. It's because of her. Brothers and sisters, a young man goes to a pastor one time and says, "Pastor, you say that a lot of people are carrying a burden of the sin. But how heavy is this burden? A pound, two, five, ten? Because I'm not saved and I'm not feeling anything." And the pastor says, "If you put a 400-pound load on a corpse, do you think it's going to feel it?" And he says, "No, it's dead." "Well, there's the same thing with you. If your spirit inside of you is dead, then you as well, you're dead, my friend." Augustine said about sin that is the lie that a lot of people believe, or some humans believe, that they can be self-sustained, self-dependent, and self-created. Sin, brothers and sisters, comes from the word ket in Hebrew, which phonetical is kenata and means infraction, means oppression, and is described as a rebellion against God and breaking His law. In 1 John 4:3-4, in Joshua 1:8, and Deuteronomy 7:9. And it comes in this world. It came in this world through Lucifer and then with Adam and Eve, and then it spread out throughout the whole human being. And Isaiah says, the prophet Isaiah in his book in chapter 59, verse 2, he says that sin puts a wall between man and God that separates the man and God. And this wall was so big, this wall was so strong, this wall was so powerful that no one was able to break it. And then, brothers and sisters, God had to send His only Son, Jesus Christ, and make His only Son holy sin for you and for me, for this wall to be broken and the relationship between us and God to be reestablished. Sin, or the sin, a treatable cancer, that's the title of my message tonight. The sin, a treatable cancer, păcatul un cancer tratabil. The sin is a cancer, brothers and sisters, is a disease because it brings you and it brings me to death. But it's treatable, because if you admit you have sin today, if you come to Jesus Christ, if you repent from your sins, you can be healed, you can be changed, you can be transformed. What we need to understand at the beginning is that sin, brothers and sisters, bring a curse. It brought a curse at the beginning in Genesis chapter 3 on Adam and Eve. And God says about Eve, "Because you were listening to the snake instead of listening to me, now in pain you're going to bring kids in this world and you're always going to live under your husband and he's going to rule over you." About Adam says, "Adam, because you didn't listen to my word, because you sinned, now with pain and with sweat you'll have to work the land and you will go back into the ground, because from dust you were taken and in dust you shall return." My beloved brothers and sisters, friends, today, tonight, every time you are in front of a sin, you are in front of a decision that you make. You decide for yourself. You decide your future. Where you are in front of a sin, you decide what you want to have later. You decide a blessing or you decide a curse. You decide the life or you decide the death. You decide the defeat or you decide the victory. You decide God or you decide devil. You decide to be in the kingdom of God or you decide to be in hell. You make a decision upon your life. We all know the results of the sin in Leviticus 26 with the people of Israel in Egypt, which are pain, which is suffering, which is death, oppression, starvation, and curse. When you gave your life to Jesus, you gotta be different. You gotta live different. You don't live for yourself anymore. You live for God. You gave God your heart. You gave God your soul. You gave God your body. It's your mind. It's your hands. It's your eyes. It's everything that you have. They belong to God. Brothers and sisters, we cannot play with a sin because sin will bring a curse upon our lives. Sin will bring a curse upon our lives. The example with Ananias and Sapphira. They had a property and they decided to sell it and give the money to the ministry, right? So they decis să vândă moșia și să pună banii la picioarele apostolilor. But you know what happened when they saw the price that they can get from the property? They got a little bit greedy and they said probably, oh, we should keep a little bit for ourselves. And they lied. And they both died because of a lie. Brothers and sisters, if we would all have to be punished for the same sin that Ananias and Sapphira committed, which all of us are guilty of tonight, we would all have to be dead by now. And if we're not dead, it's just because of the grace and mercy that God had, has, and is still having for us. But we cannot play with a sin because sin will bring a curse upon our lives. And tonight I want to talk about three types of curses that the sin brings. I'm only going to go through the first part of the message, sin, the sin of treatable cancer. And with the grace of God and His mercy, in 5 weeks we're going to continue with the second part. Well, first of all, sin will bring a curse upon people that are not bringing offerings. And please put on the screen the text in Malachi 3:10. Malachi 3:10 says, "Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me the heirs, saith the Lord of the host, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Curse upon people that are not bringing offerings. And of course, probably some of you will say, well, we're talking about 10%. You're talking about offerings. That's kind of for the Old Testament. It's not really biblical. It's not really in the New Testament. False. It's very actual today. Bringing our offerings is very actual today. It's very new and very actual in the New Testament as well to bring your offerings to God. And let me just give you an example. Jesus is in front of the temple. He's preaching. And there's people there that are listening to Him. Some people that are loving Him. Some people that are adoring Him. And some people that are hating Him. And suddenly there's a woman that brings her offering to the temple. And the Pharisees, they were probably looking at her kind of disgusted, saying, oh, she brings her 2 cents here. She brings her pennies here, huh? If they would have probably had some machines there, they would have made it with a credit card or with an American Express, right? To slide your card, right? Not you don't have to come with your dollar bills. And Jesus stops and He draws all the attention to this woman and says, look at this woman. She gave more than everyone else because she gave everything. Brothers and sisters, when we come in front of God, we got to come with everything. Come with your soul, come with your heart, come with your family, come with your money, come with your properties. Give everything to God. And I'm not trying to get into an extreme. Please don't get me wrong. But I truly believe that when you have that heart to give God everything, He's going to give you enough wisdom to structure things in the right way. But a lot of times, we put up numbers and we put up percentages because we're trying to be cheap with God. Because we're trying to be cheap with God. You see, you expect God to be with you 24 hours a day. You expect God to be with you at work, right? Because you need money. You need to perform there. You need to bring money home to pay for your bills, to pay for your families. You need God 24 hours a day. Even when you sleep, you need that peace in your sleep. But when it's about us offering, when it's about us giving, I'm committed for a month, two, three, four, and then I'm not committed, and then God, please understand me, a year or two or three, because I'm human. But it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. The Christmas day, I was going to CVS pharmacy. And I tried to get some medicine, and at the door there was a woman with a little girl. And they tried to approach me. And I raised up my hand saying, you know, just leave me alone. I thought there were some beggars. I wasn't in the mood to talk to them. And I got in, I got my stuff, I came back, I got back in the car. And with the corner of my eye, I looked there. And they were still there. And I saw something. Something that touched me, something that moved me. This little girl, about 6 years old, she was embracing her mother. And her mother was hugging her, crying. And I heard a voice from my scalp to my toes, something that caught me and said, if you're not going to do anything about this woman right now, you shouldn't even call yourself a Christian. You shouldn't even go and preach others and tell them how to live their lives. And I jumped out of the car. I go to this woman and I say, how can I help you? What do you need? Do you need money? Do you need food? Do you need a transportation? What can I do for you? And she looks at me crying, saying, I don't need food. I don't need money. I don't need transportation. All I need is a cell phone. I said, cell phone? What do you mean? She said, I'm from Afghanistan. We came here a few years ago, and it's the third time my husband gets drunk, and he threw me and my daughter outside in the streets with a bag. And I want to call one of my relatives so she can pick me up. And I insisted, and she didn't want anything else other than a cell phone. A cell phone? Sometimes it's just a cell phone. Jesus says to the Israelites at some point, I'm sick and tired of your sacrifices. Do you really think I need your sacrifices? Do you really think I need your food? Do you really think I need that when I see your lifestyle and when I see the way you live? Do you really think that God needs your offering? Do you really think that God needs your money? But God needs us to understand the fundamental principle of giving so we can understand, if you want to put it this way, at least 1% of what He did for us. Sin will bring a curse upon people that are not bringing offerings. 2, sin will bring a curse upon people that are indifferent. Romans 1, 28 to 39. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to those things which are not fitted. And then he talks more in verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, lying, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Curse upon people that are indifferent. Dear brothers and sisters, we live in a society where it's very easy to be indifferent. You turn on your TV, you turn on your radio, your iPad, you go on the school, you go at work, you go on the streets, it's all about you. It's me, myself, and I. Who cares for the rest? Călci-mi picioare în dreapta, în stânga, ție să-ți meargă bine, dar ce contează că cel din dreapta moare? Ție să-ți meargă bine, tu să ajungi în față, it's all about you. And in this world, in this society, it's very easy to just go with the flow and be indifferent and not care about the people that are around us. But as Christians, how much do we care? You see, maybe some of you guys came here 20, 30 years ago, and you might say, I had this Romanian thing inside of me, deep inside of me, but it's gone. I'm here for so many years. Maybe you were born here, or maybe your parents brought you here when you were little, and you barely speak Romanian. And maybe God didn't call you, or you will say, God didn't call me to be a minister in Romania. A lot of times we have people here from India, from Africa, and we see missioning, we see ministering. Maybe we give, maybe we don't. Maybe we get a little bit emotional, right? But we forget the next day. And maybe God didn't call you to be a minister in Romania. Maybe God didn't call you to be a minister in Africa. But I'm pretty sure that God called you to be a minister in your family, in your church, at your school, at the place where you work, where you are 6, 7, 8 hours of your day. But as the way I was saying last time, it's so easy. It's so easy to not care. If I was not offended one time in my life for Christ, if I never had to go sing a song or praise God in downtown LA and no one handcuffed me. It's so easy if I would never suffer for God and suffer for the faith. When I first came in this country in 2004, I came in Chicago and I was talking to one of my friends saying, you know what, I want to go back. I don't like it. And I really didn't like it. And an older guy there overheard us, a Romanian guy, and said, how dare you guys talking like that? I came in this country through the bullets. And you guys came here on the airplane and you guys complained. And I said, wow, he's so right. He's so right. Because a lot of times, brothers and sisters, we don't care. You might look at work and there might be people. For me, this week, I wouldn't call it an incident, but a situation where a guy came to me in the new department where I am saying, without me telling anything about God, saying, you know what, I'm an atheist. I just want to tell you from the beginning. He said, I feel you're a Christian, and you know what, I respect you, but don't talk to me about God. Respect me and I respect you. And you know what, a lot of times you might think, you know, I'm trying to be a good example in the place where I am. But look at this guy. He's 40, 50, 60 years old right now. And you know, nothing changed. I mean, I'm not going to be able to change him. You're not going to be able to change him, but God will change him. But maybe that takes a little more than just being a good example. How many days do I fast for such a person? How many days do I pray for such a person? You know, I saw on TV a commercial, it's about school. There's a bunch of people, thousands of people going on one side. And they're just walking, going with the flow without looking to the right or to the left. And so one of them suddenly turns back and says, you know, I don't want to be like everyone else. I want to be different. Despite the fact that it's hard, despite the fact that I'm older, despite the fact that I don't have money, I decided to go to school. And he looks back and suddenly he sees 3-4 other guys say, and he says, and it seems that I'm not the only one. A lot of times you might think you're alone. The multiorist, I cred că e în zadar. It's not worth it. Nothing's going to change. God will change. God is with you. God is watching over you. God is watching over his ministry. And sooner or later, you will see the fruits coming. But you need to have faith and you need to be consistent. We had such a great example last Sunday night about celebrating an amazing thing. Not a man, but what God made into a man. What a ministry, 39 churches, hundreds of people that are doing mission. It's so amazing. This is what I want to leave behind. This is what you want to leave behind. But don't think that you'll be able to make it after 65 when you'll retire, because you might want to do it then, but then it might be too late. God, we don't want to be indifferent. God forbid for any of us to end up like the people that Paul talks in Romans 1:28. Curse upon people that in these days are indifferent. And third of all, curse upon those that are basing their lives on the works of law. Galatians 3:11. But no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Also in Galatians, Apostle Paul says that we're justified through the faith in Jesus Christ, not through the works of law. And a lot of people these days, brothers and sisters, believe that if they do something, they can be saved. If I just read 5 books from the Bible, I'm saved. If I'm circumcised, if my kids are circumcised, I'm saved. If I'm taking the Bible and I put it under my pillow and I sleep with the Bible under my pillow, I will be saved. Then I will also get that protection from God. If I go to the priest, I'm saved. There was one incident I remember. Remember this evil person, which Saddam Hussein was, in the middle of his trial, he said to the judge, I want to take a break because I have to pray. And the judge said, you're not praying when you want to pray. This is a trial. We take a break when I decide as a judge that we're taking a break. And he said, what do you think, that Allah can wait? A lot of times we think that if we just obey some rules and do some certain things, we're saved. But that's so false. An Orthodox friend of mine, no offense to any Orthodox here tonight, came to me one time and said, you know what, Abel, I admit I'm not a good Christian. But I want to tell you something. My mom is a better Christian than most of the people at your church. She's going to church every single Sunday morning. She's bringing candles and she does exactly what the priest tells her to do. And I look at him and I said, you know what, your mom might be a very good person. Your mom might be a very spiritual person. But the relationship that she needs to have is with Jesus Christ, not with a priest. The relationship that she needs to have is with God through Jesus Christ, not with Jesus through the priest. In John 3, Nicodemus comes to Jesus. This Pharisee saw something different to Jesus and says, What do I need to be saved? And Jesus looks at him and says, you need to be born again, Nicodemus. What do you mean, Master? What do you mean be born again? Go back in my mother's womb. I'm an old man. That doesn't make any kind of sense. Nicodemus, you have to be born again in spirit. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You don't understand that. You are the teacher of Israel. And if you don't understand that, how are others going to understand it? In Mark 10, a young man full of life, full of power, comes to Jesus. Master, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life, the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus says, you need to obey the rules, do the works of law. Oh, that's all I need to do? All these things, I did them since I was a little kid. I know them by heart. I memorized them already. Put me to test. I'll have an A+. That's great. Then there's just one more thing that's missing. You just have to apply them. Sell everything that you have and give it to the poor. And he left disappointed because his heart was where his money were, where his properties, where his assets were. And Jesus looks and says, how hard, how tough, how difficult for a rich man to get into the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to get into the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, sin, a treatable cancer. Sin brings a curse upon our life. A curse for the people that are not bringing offerings. A curse upon the people that are bringing cheap. A curse upon people that are being indifferent and they just go with the flow. Because, hey, everyone does it, so why wouldn't I? A curse upon people that are basing their lives on the works of law. Thinking that if they just obey a rule or two, they can be saved. But my prayer and your prayer, I want it to be tonight, God, I want to be different. God, I want to be different than everyone else. God, I want you to take this sin in my life out tonight. God, I want you to renew me tonight. My life inside of me, my outside. God, change me tonight. God, I don't want this curse over my life. God, I want to be a man. I want to be a woman that will bring our offerings, my offerings to you. God, how can I not bring my offerings to you when you gave me everything, when you chose me from my mother's womb, when I was nothing in this world? You put so much attention on me and you said, he will be with me in heaven. God, how can I be indifferent? How can I be indifferent when my brothers, my sisters, my co-workers, my colleagues, they go to hell, God? How can I be indifferent when one time I am going to be responsible for them because I had a chance to testify you? And I didn't. God, I don't want this curse. And I don't want to base my life on the works of law. God, it's not just about a rule. God, it's not just about a simple commandment. God, you are not just a God of a rule, but you are a God of a relationship. We have a God of a relationship. I have a God that is true. I have a God that is alive. I have a God that walks with me every day of my life. He gives me peace. He gives me strength. He gives me power. He gives me love. He gives me a passion to serve him every day of my life. So God, take my fear and bring me peace. Take my guilt and bring me love. Take the curse and bring me blessing. Amen.